You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, here live in the special Right Side studio down here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour numero three. So 3 hours. I mean, the first two just flew by. Well, this is Wednesday. You know the deal. Wednesdays, we do certain things like we play the camel at the beginning of the show, but also at 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, we have this thing we call the Grand Council, where I got two guys who have been doing radio longer than me. One of them you have to blame for me even being here at all. But yeah, so let me just take the moment, call the roll, one of whom is breathing right next to me. So I'll just go, yeah, I hear you breathing that microphone. Dale Jackson, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. Whoop!
Whoop! Stand at ease. And then... calling in right now on the line with us. I didn't bother saying where all you're from, by the way. 770 AM 925 FM WVNN. Also writing for Yellowhammer News, Dale Jackson.
Hello.
Okay. And then from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, does his own show down there, the Jeff Poor Show. He's also the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. On the line right now, Jeff Poor, how you doing?
I am present.
You are so lackluster. We're sitting over here excited, both of us wearing a tie and everything looking ship shape, and then you go, I am present.
Why is Jeff not here? I thought he was like the guy in Alabama politics. That's how I always viewed him, and now Jeff Poor is out here and not even showing up. He's big time at us is what he's doing.
That's what it is. He's like the Donald Trump who doesn't come to the debate.
Mm-hmm, that's right. He said, Trump's not going to be there. I'm not going to be there.
All right, well, I pronounce a quorum, so Butters, go ahead and hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, Jeff, since you're not here with us enjoying the soiree, I'm going to let you go first. What you got?
What do you guys make of Katie Britt's endorsement of Trump today?
Well, you stole my question. So Katie Britt comes out and endorses pretty much the shoe-in. Now, you know, I'll be honest, Katie Britt also got Donald Trump's endorsement during her campaign, which was the huge scandal because it had been Mo Brooks' endorsement and then swapped over. So I think it would have been almost bad form if she had not returned the favor, especially with him polling so high. But why does she wait? That's the question. I don't know. Why does she wait? Maybe she waited till her book got out first. I don't know. But I think it's clear that the Alabama delegation is, you know, in line right now for Donald Trump. Dale Jackson, your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, she waited until this.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff Poor didn't think it was important, but Katie Britt clearly did. And this debate is the place to make that news.
You're bringing the Tuscaloosa connection in.
Yeah. I mean, Alabama, the debate's in Alabama. It's at Tuscaloosa. I mean, this is her campus. I mean, yeah, I think there is. I think that's what that's all about. And I think it's a pretty smart move by everyone involved. And it also gets that question asked right in the middle of all this coverage about what's going on in the state. You say to them, hey, the junior senator, the very popular junior senator, endorsed. So what's that all about?
Well, so what are your thinkings there, Jeff Rowe? What do you think?
I kind of think, I don't know. I don't know why I wait so long if this wasn't that smart. I wonder if Katie got anything out of the deal. Senator Britt, I should say. Got anything out of the deal by endorsing him today or whatever, but why not have done this when Trump was in Alabama earlier this year? Why today? Why now? Why this sudden decision?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a number of reasons. We don't know what negotiations are going on. I don't know what she might have gotten out of it. She's safe. There's no election pending for her right now. At the same time, she doesn't have anybody nipping at her heels, and she's seen as being extremely popular, even on the national level. I don't know, man. I do think Dale's got a point, though, with Tuscaloosa. Hang on a second, though. With Tuscaloosa, and granted, we didn't know about the Tuscaloosa debate until about a month and a half ago, but she may have decided to hold until everybody came to her hometown. But who knows? What you're about to say?
What, But what happened to, I can't endorse anybody because I'm on the special blue ribbon committee with the RNC. Did that go away? Like, what happened to that justification?
Tuscaloosa.
I don't have an answer for you. Maybe she got something cleared through ethics, or maybe she had somebody advise her that no longer matters, or maybe that was a front for something else. I don't know. But the bottom line is,
yeah, maybe maybe that was just the worst excuse ever not to endorse and be told to endorse.
I don't know. So you feel conspiracy here, Jeff? Is that what you're saying?
Here's what I think happened. She didn't want to endorse what everybody else was. She wasn't going to be bossed around. She wasn't going to be told what to do, so she was going to do it on her own terms, and this is her own terms right now.
It's not only her own terms, it's her own hometown, so I think Dale's nailed it, that the timing was Tuscaloosa.
Well, why do y'all keep calling Tuscaloosa her hometown? Why do y'all keep calling Tuscaloosa her hometown?
I know she's from the Wiregrass, but the Brits are from Coleman. But nonetheless, she's definitely considered to be Tuscaloosa material.
Stomping grounds. Is that better?
Yeah. You feel better about that? Like she used to be here.
Her own
is that
town,
better?
Though.
Is this really that controversial, Jeff? That
she should run for Congress in the second district.
Oh my God! All right. So he's feeling bad for not being here in Tuscaloosa right now, is what I'm sensing. So Dale, you got a question for us? What do you got?
Yeah, he's kind of bitter. I like it though. Watching Anthony Blinken and Joe Biden today both make references to American blood and American troops when talking about the Russians. The President of the United States is talking about American troops, and the Secretary of State is talking about American blood being shed in a war with the Russians as a way to entice people to support more for Ukraine, even though we know the outcome of Ukraine has never been in doubt. It has always been exactly the same. Russia going to get something, then they're going to stop killing them, and that's how it's going to go. Now we've lost 700,000 Ukrainians and tons of money for nothing, and now we're going to watch as Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken blame Americans. What is this, like extortion? Is that what they're trying to do?
It's absolutely extortion. They're doing everything they can right now to bend the congressional votes to voting for a new package of aid for Ukraine. And I don't know if you saw it or not today, but Merrick Garland, who every time he comes out and does any kind of presser, looks like a friggin' mortician standing there. But he brings charges today, war crimes charges, against several Russian combatants for, you know, allegedly, you know, I don't doubt it, but torturing, Ukrainian soldiers on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. I thought the timing of that was so pitifully obvious. There's no effort there to do anything until the day when they need a vote on Ukrainian aid packages. And oh, by the way, then we're going to come out as the U.S. DOJ and bring war crimes charges against somebody from Russia.
That's weird.
And then Biden does his speech where he talks about, you know, Putin. I'll say it again, Putin. He can't win, but Biden has yet to present a plan. He just wants more money, and that's the downfall here. Make a freaking plan and tell us what the milestones are. What is the actual end game? Not just, we're in it for the long haul. What is this checkbook for? And that's where he's losing the argument right now with conservatives. Jeff, chime in here. What do you got?
These guys look like Ayn Randian villains or something. Like, it's just like the caricatures of what we make fun of. When we talk about socialism, the left, and big government, and like bringing war crimes charges today against the Russians, it's just so hollow. It's so blatantly like obvious what's going on here. I don't think it's going to work. Republicans and conservatives are pretty dug in on this one.
And it's like when another country does stuff with our soldiers, like, hey, cool. Come and force it.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, it's Russians. And I think it was Russians who were actually fighting with Wagner Group. So they probably got them out of a jail cell somewhere to go on the battlefield. And I'm not trying to dismiss what may or may not have happened. But yeah, but hollow, the word that Jeff used, is absolutely on point. It was just ridiculous. All right, I got time for a quick question here. Gosh, can I do this one a quick question? All right, so today, I didn't see this coming. Maybe y'all heard rumors, but Kevin McCarthy resigned from Congress. So we've got the former Speaker of the House, who was the first one ever ousted from his position, is now saying, I'm not going to finish out my term. I'm gone January 1. What is your thought? I mean, I got some thoughts about where he's going. Where do you think he's going? Is he just going to the House? Is he going fishing? Is he going to spend time with his family? Is he really got something else going on, Dale?
I don't know. I don't know why he would do this. You know, he was elected to that position. Unless there's some health issue, I just don't think it's appropriate to walk away because you're sad that people are being mean to you and that you tried to elbow people and they didn't like it. I don't know. This reflects very poorly on him as a human being.
Jeff, your thoughts?
He's cashing out. He's about to make some big dough working on K Street or Fox News or somewhere. That's what's going on here. Why stick around and be a backbencher? It's pretty obvious. What it does, though, it really screws up the Republican majority because now they've lost Santos, yep. McCarthy. That margin is getting thinner and thinner.
Yeah, it's getting way, way thinner. And that's my point, is this is the guy who, as Speaker of the House, told us how many times that the slim majority we have to work with is so important that we get more Republicans in here. And now he's leaving before his term is up. I look at this as I think he's almost setting up the people who got him out of office for failure so that he can go out and be a recruiter, because he made some allusions in his exit statements to he'll be out there helping raise money and do good things to bring in more great candidates, which tells me that what he's probably going to do is go be some kind of congressional recruiter and bundler. And at the same time, oh, by the way, you just made it harder for the people you left behind to do their job, so now you can recruit candidates against the guys who couldn't get their job done. That's what I see happening here. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm pretty sure Kevin McCarthy knows exactly what he's doing, and that's the end game for him. All right, round one. Ooh, that was a good one. Round one, the Grand Council. I'm sitting here with Dale Jackson in Tuscaloosa, and Jeff Poore's on the line with us. Round two coming up after this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just going right back to round number two, Grand Council. I'm here with Dale Jackson as we are broadcasting live from Tuscaloosa, him with WVNN out of Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. And on the line with us, we got our brethren Jeff Poore, who's with his own show and FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, as well as being the editor-in-chief of 1819 News. I think, Jeff, your first round two, what you got, man?
So word on the street is this: gambling is coming in the legislature, but as a sweetener, because they're not going to have enough Republican votes, they're going to have to court Democrats with, wait for it, Medicaid expansion. Is it what will it look like in our world, a conservative ink out here in Alabama, if the Alabama legislature passes gambling with Medicaid expansion riding as a rider?
Oh, Lord God, you just combined all of the hates. Dale Jackson, you first, man. What do you got?
Seems untenable. I mean, it just really does. Doesn't seem like something they could put together. I don't think they can get enough bodies to make that happen. They've all openly talked bad about it. Arthur Orr openly talking bad about Medicaid expansion for years.
Yeah.
Not to say it can't happen and the right deal can't be cut, but is gambling the carrot that they dangle over the heads of the people who think Medicaid expansion is a bad idea? I don't think that works.
Yeah, and do you do that, by the way, in a year when you've got people like Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump, and others on the national stage talking about conservative policy issues and how important it is to, you know, to recognize the states are where things are at, and while we're going to do good things at national level, states' rights are important and yada, 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 and then they're going to turn right around and abuse that whole mantra and do something that is, of course, they did the gas tax, and they also, you know, they did some of the most feckless things I've seen, like that awful cannabis bill, which, say what you want about medical marijuana, the way they put it together was just absolutely asinine.
I love it.
So Jeff, your own question, what do you got?
Well, so you lose the hard right on gambling no matter what.
Yep.
In the legislature.
Yep.
They figure they're going to lose the hard right anyway on Medicaid expansion, but can you cobble together enough Republicans and Democrats to get there? And that's what they think they can do in the House. I don't know about the Senate.
Well, see, even the moderates, and there are some, even the moderates in the state House and Senate, they know that it's going to be hard for them to defend, especially when you combine the two. And Lord God, you get that in one. And now maybe they're saying, we'll let you have a straight up or down vote and see if you can get your Medicaid expansion. I mean, I can see them trying to make that argument. If they're going to make a push for it, that's an entirely different, you know, case study. And I just don't see it happening. Next question. We've got about 3 minutes left. Dale, what you got?
A new state house where Jeff Poore will hang out. You know, he'll hang out there, but he won't hang out with us here. But a new state house going, what is it, the $350 million potentially? Yeah. You were in the legislature. Is there any way that this does not piss off the people? I mean, is there any way that the people aren't, they spent $350? I mean, no matter what doesn't get done, the response is, well, they could give themselves a new state house.
Well, all right, so first of all, I think all three of us know the current state house sucks. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but I don't have to work there, so I don't care.
I know, but I would work there, and like after 3 hours, my eyes would burn because there's so much mold in the building. So the current state house definitely has to go. I got no problem saying that.
Right.
$330 million is a big price tag. Hopefully, they're going to build a legacy building that will you know, survive the next 75 to 100 years. But then the other piece of this is, I know what they're going to say. As much as I'm down on Bronner and the way RSA does things, they're letting this thing be a RSA expense that we're going to lease back with the option of buying it outright in, 20 years? It's I don't know, man. It's a hard sell. But when you look at what it takes to get the people in front of their elected officials, that building is not conducive to public meetings. That building is not conducive to public health. So they got to do it eventually, and I guess it's time now, but with budget surpluses. Jeff, chime in, brother.
Yeah, I agree with the state house. It's got to be done. It had to be
done
eventually.
Did we lose Jeff?
I don't like the RSA. I don't like the RSA angle at all, but it is what it is.
And I hate that phrase, by the way. One of my least favorite phrases in the whole world is "it is what it is." But I hear you. All right, last question with maybe a minute. Ivy League presidents excoriated in front of a congressional committee could not possibly say anything to address the question of whether or not it was a violation of their code of conduct for Jewish students to be threatened with death by other students on campus. Do any of them resign? What do you think? Do any of them lose their positions? Real quickly, Dale.
I think it's possible. I mean, the people are pretty angry about this, I think, across the board, members of Congress. The only people that they're appeasing is the far left. And they've always known they are anti-Semites. We've known that. Now they're just saying it out loud. If I go out on this campus here and start talking about killing black people and pushing them in the sea or whatever, people are going to know who said it, when they said it, and what they did about it. For some reason, this is different. I don't get it, and I'm glad these people are being raked over the coals.
I am too. And I got thoughts on, I think they're going to wind up losing their jobs if and when they begin losing their endowments from their major, you know, constituents. Jeff, real quick, as the music's playing, what do you think? Are they going to lose their jobs?
No, it'll just become an all-leftist elitist institution.
All right. Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News. And little old me coming right back for the last half hour. We will be right back.